I'm looking at, you know, these teams and what they're facing, and especially those that have aspirations for the playoffs and what they have to do to make runs. And these are the questions as far as what teams, what the position of these teams were at the end of 2018. Then you think of off season, the combine, free agency. One of the things that sticks out to me, I'm looking for teams that I thought performed well last year, and then I'm looking at cap space for that matter. And if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I would be very concerned knowing that Indianapolis has $107 million as far as cap room, and they're number one. And number six on this list, the Houston Texans, just under $75 million under the cap. Those teams are 1-6. I mean, Tennessee, right there about in the middle of the pack, they've got about $40+ million to spend. But I'd be concerned knowing that, first of all, I like Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and I certainly like Andrew Luck and the Colts, and they've got money to spend as well.
The issue, of course, is if you spend it wisely. And certain organizations don't tend to do that all that well, and others do. You make two great points in that two division rivals, who are pretty good teams and obviously were in the playoffs last year, can improve themselves with all this money. And then you've got the Jaguars, who the year before were you know, near power, and things fell apart. But that's still a talented team, too. And I think, Johnny, we've talked about this before, how that division has become so improved. It could be the best division in the NFL next season, and especially if these teams spend their money wisely in free agency.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The three teams that, you know, the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans, you know, combined over $200 million, right, as far as cap space. Jacksonville, the worst team in the NFL right now as far as cap room. In fact, they're over as far as the cap room. So if you're a fan of the Jaguars, knowing your situation at quarterback with the Blake Bortles scenario, I can't be all that confident about Jacksonville moving forward, especially with not only concerns at quarterback, but even concerns about productivity from the running game.
That's why a lot of people are thinking that the Jaguars might look to draft a quarterback, because it doesn't cost very much. And take the slow step, if it is a slow step, of having a young quarterback. I don't think you'll see Blake Bortles back there. I don't think many people would want that in Jacksonville. Veterans out there they could go after, but they don't necessarily have the money unless they do a whole lot of maneuvering. So it is a tough situation, but you can't ignore the fact that that's a pretty talented team, especially on defense. And it's got pretty good leadership in the front office. So I think all four of those teams, how they spend their money, will determine whether they're not only a threat in that division, but whether they can be a threat to teams like New England as we move forward.
Yeah, how about New England? You know, they're right now, there's seven teams that are in worse situation than the Patriots are as far as cap room. But with that said, the Patriots still have over $14 million as far as cap space. And they're right now slated to receive six of the first 100 picks in the April draft as well. You know, just when you think, there's no way the Patriots can make another run again, I mean, everything still lines up nicely for them to improve the team for 2019.
And rarely do they spend in free agency, at least big bucks. They'll bring in people who are considered somewhat second level, who fit into the system. On offense, they just let Tom Brady make them all better. And it works. And for anyone to think that while Tom Brady is still playing, that the Patriots are vulnerable, well, they proved just a month ago that that's not true, and it's not true going into this next season either.
Here's the other question I have for you, because we see this with other organizations where GMs slash coaches feeling the pressure, knowing they've got to win now instead of having the luxury of taking their time building up a program, where they make personnel decisions to help them immediately, like help them in this upcoming season. I bring up the New England Patriots because at what point do, when we talk about Bill Belichick and decisions that he makes with regards to personnel, Is he making decisions for the longevity of success for the Patriots, or is he also making decisions, say, in his head he feels like there's going to be 3 years, maybe 4 years, and then he's going to walk away, where you start making decisions as far as personnel decisions to keep on winning now compared to winning down the road?
I think it's year to year with Belichick. I think he's proved that by the people he brings in and out. And as long as he has Brady, he has that comfort zone. And to me, Brady is—he's the Michael Jordan of the NFL. I think we've discussed this before. The Wayne Gretzky—he's the kind of guy who all you need to do is bring in good talent, and he helps it upgraded. And his leadership and his work ethic—all of those things so contribute to what happens there. So I think that Belichick just goes year by year, and that's why I think when Brady decides to leave, which you know, Johnny and I. You and I might be retired before Brady retires.
Well,
but I think when Brady leaves, I think Belichick will leave. But who knows when that might be?
Well, I'll tell you what. If the numbers hit as far as Powerball over the weekend, I'll make sure that you can retire immediately. How about that?
I'll go with that.
I love it. Barry Wilner once again with the Associated Press up in New York. I was looking at the free agents that are out there and all the potential landing places for some of these guys. I still keep coming back to, you know, not to take away anything from Le'Veon Bell, but when you think about what he's going to cost, if I'm a GM for a place, I'm hoping somebody else overspends and brings them aboard, because especially somebody within my division, because you know, to me, they're just better options as far as at a more decent price as far as how it would impact them on the salary cap. I understand what a solid player he has been, but at the same time, I don't know how much, and I don't know how many teams for that matter, are willing to pay that kind of price.
I think there'll be 3 or 4 teams that will be, and it goes back to what you said a little while ago about general managers who feel the pressure to get things going more quickly with their franchises. And the feeling in some of those places could be that, you know, Bell is the type of guy who can help that happen much more quickly. So I think he's going to get his money. I'm not sure where it'll be. There are 3 or 4 teams that seem to be positioning themselves to be able to spend that money and will. But if you ask me, is he the best free agent on this market, our most valuable free agent on this market, I would say no.
With that said, there's also Antonio Brown that, you know, officially now, thanks for the memories, but moving away from each other as far as Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown. I was talking about this earlier in the week, and not really a lot of talk about this, but just knowing what the Patriots could use as far as on their offense and knowing they've got the draft picks to pull this off. You know, to me, it just seems to make sense, although, you know, it's not a team, as you talked about earlier, a team that historically has gone out and spent a lot as far as from a free agency standpoint. But I could easily see them, you know, trading away some of these picks and bring in Antonio Brown to that offense.
I could see it. I'm not sure that's the most logical place that Brown will wind up. And, you know, the Steelers have to take into consideration that they would be improving immediately their biggest rival in the AFC. And that I think that unless the offer is incredible in the way of draft picks, they would have to think twice about sending Brown anywhere in the AFC except to, you know, a team like maybe the Jets or the Bills or, you know, who aren't really much of a threat. So, but it's happened before. We saw Randy Moss wind up there.
Exactly.
And Randy Moss had, you know, the same, or not the same, but a similar reputation, some locker room issues or some issues with the front office like Brown has. The one thing I will say about Brown is that I think that you need a strong coach wherever he goes, because he clearly turned against Mike Tomlin, who many of us have thought is a pretty strong coach. So, you know, the Belichick situation would not be a factor there. You know, Brown is not going to turn against Belichick. He would be gone no matter what they paid for him.
You know, Barry, not to take away from the success of the Patriots, because I go back to the fact as a lifelong Jets fan, and their only Super Bowl appearance was before I could actually keep up with the NFL from that the third one, and now we're in the 50s as far as the number of Super Bowls. So we talk about 9 appearances in the last 18 years for the Patriots in Super Bowls with 6 victories. But it certainly helps when they're in a division where when you're Bill Belichick in this case and making personnel moves, you're making moves to compete against the Pittsburghs of the world or the other teams inside the AFC before you even think about the NFC for that matter, because you're not having to be too concerned about your own division because of the ineptness of these decisions that have been made by the Jets, Buffalo, and Miami. You really have had no competition inside your own division for 18 years.
And especially for the last 9 or 10. There was a little more competition from the Dolphins and the Jets back in the early 2000s when the Jets had Herm Edwards there and made the playoffs 3 out of 5 years, and when Miami was actually making the playoffs a little more often and winning the division when they had Chad Pennington as their quarterback. But I've been saying this for years. If you combine the rosters, took the best players from those 3 teams, put them on one roster, they still wouldn't beat the Patriots.
I know your people are going to hear that and think you're being funny, but you're actually being very realistic about it.
Well, sometimes when you look at some of these rosters, you see 1 or 2 or 3 players that could actually make the Patriots from each of those teams. So I don't think that a Jets, Bills, Dolphins combination would be all that, you know, strong a team, no matter who they were going up against, especially against a team like the Patriots.
Hey, by the way, your thoughts after a couple of weeks now, the Alliance of American Football, I keep thinking it's a league that certainly knows its, you know, its purpose in life, and I think it would be a nice addition if this thing could keep going as far as, because it is basically minor league football, and there'll be some of these players playing now that will find themselves on rosters in the fall as far as in the NFL, but it's one of these things where it has to navigate the waters. I mean, I know it was difficult for me to actually find some of the games last week due to the, you know, NBA All-Star Weekend. It was if you don't know where they are, that's going to be a tough find for you at times on your cable system. But I like the whole purpose of this league. I certainly like the format and the formula a lot better than what we're probably going to get from the XFL next year. But the big question will be, can it survive?
I hope it survives. I hope it flourishes. I think it's good for football. I think it's being run by one of the most brilliant executives we've seen in the last three decades in football, in Bill Polian. As for the TV, they have good partners, and there's money there. They have a deal with CBS. The games are on CBS Sportsnet, which is in most homes in the country. They have games on Turner, and Turner, obviously, with TBS and TNT, is everywhere. And they have a deal with NFL Network. So, yes, you may have to search a little bit to find the games, but they are there, and they are available to pretty widespread audiences. As for players coming from this league into the NFL, if the Alliance lasts this entire season, and I think they will, and I think actually the play will get a little bit better as they move along, maybe even a lot better, I think you'll see anywhere from 2 dozen to 3 dozen players who are in the Alliance making NFL rosters next season.
Having a chance once again to talk a little football with Barry Wilner. With regards to, you know, where we stand moving forward as far as with the combine just around the corner as well, and then we get to the draft in April, one of the things that really sticks out to me, the number of quarterbacks with the potential to make rosters in 2019. Now, does this mean we're talking about future backups, or could we actually have some standout guys that can emerge in year 2 or 3 of their careers and become starters in the NFL? Time will tell if there's a, you know, quote-unquote Patrick Mahomes lingering around. But because of the pure numbers, if you're a team that you're not convinced you've got your guy, if you think that you might have the third best quarterback in your division, you better be taking a quarterback, and in some cases might want to choose a couple too, knowing the depth of the quarterbacks in this particular draft.
You may have just described the situation the Titans are in. They may have the third best quarterback in that division.
I wonder why I came up with that notion.
And you know, Mariota, who has trouble staying on the field, he gets hurt a bit. And he's been a little more up and down than people would have expected. Not as up and down as Jameis Winston, who went ahead of him in the draft, but still inconsistent. I think where we are now with quarterbacks is very interesting, because we've got teams like Pittsburgh and the Chargers and the Giants and a few others that have the aging quarterbacks, the Saints, who must at some point and very soon address that and bring in somebody, whether the person sits for a year or two or actually gets on the field pretty quickly. And then you have the other area where you have teams like Tampa Bay and Tennessee and maybe even Oakland, and maybe a couple of others, Jacksonville, where they don't know, they're not quite sure if that's their guy. So, but this is not a great or deep quarterbacks class, so I don't think we'll see a real maelstrom of change this year in the NFL at that position.
You know, I was looking at the Titans, where they stand right now, you know, despite the room that they have as far as the $40 million plus. But you look at Marcus Mariota, Taylor Lewan, Malcolm Butler. Just those three contracts alone, as far as the salary cap hit for them, combined over 22% of the entire amount the Titans are spending right now. Three players, 22%.
That's not an unusual dynamic. And you have there your left tackle, your quarterback, and your shutdown cornerback, if all of those three players are at their peak. So that's where the money naturally would go. So I don't have a big problem with that, again, as long as those guys perform and stay healthy.
Well, that's the question I have for you. Right now, are the Titans getting that? You can make the argument that they're getting it from, say, Taylor Lewan, but from all three combined, they're not getting that kind of productivity from those three.
No, they're not. And I think it's fair to say that two of the teams in their division are getting the top performance for the top dollars they're spending. Houston certainly is, with the money they gave to DeAndre Hopkins and the money they pay J.J. Watt, and that I assume they're going to pay Jadeveon Clowney. I think that trio certainly trumps what you see in Tennessee. And I think in Indianapolis, with the incredible draft they had last year, they've had two great drafts in a row, actually, that they've got the type of team where the quarterback is now healthy and is in the elite class, and a bunch of other real young players who aren't making a lot of money, who are stars. The Titans are really kind of chasing two teams that are in better situations than they are.
I mean, yeah, if you're thinking about making the run in the playoffs, and right now, if you know, I think it's a general consensus from the West to the East that you would pick Indianapolis and Houston over Tennessee right now, then you've got a problem.